B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right. It's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Spin and wheel spin. 617-779-0985. It's the noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Let's roll on with the wheels, though. Terrible sound effects and all. Yeah. Cue it up, T-Bone. And the topic is...
The match.
This is, to me, the worst topic of the day.
Disagree.
How's that for a tease of a segment?
I'm interested in this one. I think there's good back and forth here.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady?
I just think that there's some underlying ball breaking going on that is forced here with Rodgers and the Packers, and Brady's all in on it. And I think Rodgers is getting off on it. I think he's going to show up and play for the Packers.
So it's Rodgers, Brady, Mickelson again, and Bryson DeChambeau is in this now as well for the match.
Is it him or Koepka?
Which I think it's Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. I thought it was the other one. Sorry.
Yeah, you're really into it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really going to watch this one.
No, I know. But the fact Mickelson, you know, won the Open, you get two guys. That
PGA
I think,
Championship.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I've said this before, so I'm repeating myself.
Totally.
The Wanamaker Cup, whatever the hell it is.
I'm repeating myself here, but
getting
I think.
Hung up on nuance.
I think the match, playing it out, is too stretched out. There's not enough content to fill the hours that they fill with it.
Okay.
It's
this is the problem that we encounter with the first one between Tiger and Phil. It's dependent on the personalities, and let's face it, neither guy has a great personality.
Does anybody want to sit down and watch that start to finish?
Well, yeah, I do.
I'm like
Milliken in baseball.
One. With Rodgers, I think Rodgers and Brady in it is better than Brady and Manning. Manning's too goofy.
How long did it last the last time? 4 hours?
All of 4 hours.
Four plus hours?
The last one was...
That's all we had at the time, though.
The last one was good because it had Barkley. You had a guy who can barely play. So when you had Barkley in there with Phil against Steph Curry and Peyton Manning... That made it a little more interesting. You had three amateurs and a player. So that was kind of cool.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that one was in the fall. The Tom Brady, I mean, that was kind of painful to watch, watching Brady struggle like that. You know, the weather wasn't great. It was just kind of you're waiting for something to happen. Brady hold out that shot from the fairway, which was awesome. But was it enough to make up for... These guys are kind of taking it seriously, but they're kind of not. So there's not as much like ball busting and all this stuff going on that you want to, because they're trying to focus in. They're actually trying to win. Like Steph can play. So he wasn't like out there playing a bunch of grab ass. How interesting is it to watch other people play golf just as a baseline? If you're not into golf, it's not all that interesting. Okay, you're going to inject some personality?
That's why you need it. That's why people hate Spieth.
Who are the personalities? Aaron Rodgers?
Well, but everybody loved him on Jeopardy, and he could be more of a drip on that thing. The reviews were fantastic for him.
It wasn't because of his personality. It's because he didn't stumble over words. He didn't have any personality on it. He did a representative job. It was fine. Not great.
Who would you rather have?
In the match?
Yeah.
I liked having Barkley in there. I thought that was fun.
True. Already been done.
Now, Phil's been in it.
Yep.
Phil's already been done. Phil's been in it every time.
Brady's been in it. What? I look at this and say, why would I watch this? What's the draw? Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is not a draw. Sorry, Jeopardy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there's a pricky thing to him that I think people that root against him will watch. Or people that like him will watch. Same thing with Brady.
I think
whether you like Brady or hate Brady, you're going to root against him. Same thing with Phil.
I think this
DeChambeau's the outlier.
I think DeChambeau, between DeChambeau and Phil, they might have enough content to fill that time because neither one of them will shut the F up ever. So at least there won't be dead air. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really talk all that much.
Nope.
I told you last time, my dream foursome. No, it's golf, so. We're talking about golf.
Go ahead. It's supposed to sound funny coming out of your mouth.
What is it?
You need a onesome first.
Man. Twosome. Who would you like to see in the match, T-Bone?
Like? Brady. Brady and Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau and Belichick.
That now Beetle would watch.
I'd watch that.
Brady?
I'll watch that now.
Now you've got me interested. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
That could get fun.
Belichick and Cam versus Brady and Arians.
Can I tell you where they're screwing this thing up again, though?
That's a topper.
Why, but putting real golfers in it?
No.
Where are we screwing it up?
High score.
The 2-on-2 for 18 holes. Mix it up. Change the partners every six
Hardy,
holes.
You were on this before with the other one.
It's a great way to play just fun matches.
Yep.
Yes. You play six holes with this guy. Change teams. Switch.
Yep.
Huh? T-Bone? There's your foursome. Just call out switch.
Let's start by playing 9, not 18. Let's start there.
Mini golf.
Much better TV product. 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Put them in carts.
They're in carts.
No, started at like nighttime and then however many.
Have you not watched it? Did you not see it?
Oh, they were in carts. You're right. You're right.
Carts.
Yeah.
What was that? Started at nighttime?
So it started at like twilight and get through however many holes you can.
That too.
Turn lights on the cars. Glow in the dark golf.
Too much golf. Too much. Too long of a sport here that we're doing with the match.
You want a real golf topic from yesterday?
Yeah.
If you'd like.
I tweeted
corn?
I tweeted out the article that was in the Boston Globe today about Sulky Hawley playing in the Mass Open. That was fun to watch. That was a cool story. First woman ever to play in the Mass Open, which I was surprised to find out. I believe she's 20 weeks pregnant. She found out that she qualified, and then she found out that she was pregnant. Went through this whole conversation about whether or not to play. Playing at Oak Hill in Fitchburg, which is a beautiful golf course, but tough, hilly. Like, you're walking. You're out there for 18 holes, minimum of 2 days, before you find out if you make the cut. Today's the final day after the cut was made. So I drove out there yesterday and walked the back nine with Sulky and her husband, who was caddying for her, Scott.
Yeah.
I think you guys know Scott. He's been on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Great player in his own right. He's an instructor now and does other stuff. But, I mean, she's such a phenomenal player. Didn't make the cut the first day where the conditions were brutal
for everybody.
I mean, the rough is like just thick and there's no roll on the tee shots at all. So the ball isn't going anywhere. And Sulky was the first to admit it's like, okay, I'm not going to hit the ball as far as these guys I'm playing with, playing from the same tees. I think one of the holes I watched and the two guys she was playing with, I'll have to look up their names. They were both really good players. But, you know, it's like a dog leg left. They're going to take it up and over these trees. And one of the guys just bombed it, 300 plus. Sulky's like, I don't have the trajectory on my shot. I mean, she wasn't saying this, but I knew what she was going to do. So instead, she's got to hug the dog leg. She hit a tee shot that was 10 feet from the outlying limbs of this tree, drew it around the fairway and landed like just 20 yards behind those guys who bombed it over the trees and went to the fat part of the fairway. Just watch it. A tactician like that on the golf course and shot after shot, hole after hole, ended up not being enough to make the cut. But you want to talk about like a display of golf yesterday, not to mention the fact that she's out there walking 18 2 days in a row midway through her pregnancy. It was phenomenal.
You paint a good picture.
Mark Purrington and Colin Brennan were the two guys that you referenced.
Thank you.
Yep.
Great guys.
I close my eyes and I just picture being here. He paints a good picture. That ball hugging right around. The other guy bombs it over the trees.
Silky's like,
I'm pregnant. I'm walking around. Can't get a drink at the turn. What am I going to do now?
I don't think a lot of guys were drinking at the turn.
Yeah.
I mean, even the guys who weren't pregnant. They weren't sucking back a White Claw and then heading over to number 10 T.
Probably had to be warm there, too.
It was a nice day. It ended up being nice.
What's the name of the course again?
Oak Hill.
Oak Hill.
In Fitchburg.
That's a poke from here, huh?
The head pro knows Zoe. Can I tell how he knows you, Zoe?
Sure. Oh, boy.
His name is Bucky Buchanan.
Bucky Buchanan.
He's on the golf show a couple of weeks ago. He says, hey, ask Zoe about the time I was over at Sterling and he showed up at a golf tournament.
What a log.
We gave him a golf cart to ride around in. He didn't want to play. He goes off into the woods, finds a big log in the woods, straps it to the back of his golf cart on the unused side.
Got my bag.
Drives it back to the clubhouse, puts the log over his shoulder like Paul Bunyan, carries it into the banquet room, drops it in the middle of the dance floor, and tries to auction it off.
Let's go. First bid. $500. This log rode with me for 18 holes.
Charming.
Yep. And I had the whole back filled up with, the trough in the back where the bags go?
Yeah.
Filled with ice and Twisted Tees. It was right when Twisted Tees came out.
That's a good time, man. That's a good idea.
Sterling, that course. Half dry, you could have alcohol on.
A half dry course?
Is it
in different towns or something?
It's in two different towns on the town line. It was weird. Right? Like, they collect the alcohol when you get to the set. I'm like, can't take that. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go back. Can't take anything out of my cart.
Well, Bucky sure remembered you.
I'm going to play those holes again.
Attaboy. You're leaving a lasting impression. That's good.
But he's the head bro.
I had a big log. This thing was big. 5 foot log. Stuck that thing. Strapped that in the back. Telling you. You should have done this next Monday. Could have auctioned off, play a hole with me. 18 holes. 18 different golfers. We could have some fun.
You would have played 18 holes?
I'd be there for 18 holes. I don't know if I'd play all 18. But
you might be off in the woods.
Memorable moments like that.
Yeah.
Story still being told. 20 years later. 25, maybe. That was the old Hillman Golf Tournament. I used to play that every year.
Good.
My God.
Important to get that part of the story.
I'm going to call you into the corner office today.
Oh, for what?
Does he still invite you to play in it?
Because
any chance you can get in?
Yeah, he does. He does, once for dare mentioning that name. So I guess maybe they can call. But I doubt you'll get called in now.
All right.
No.
Puts logs in the middle.
Yellow beetle for that. Don't yell at
Zoe. I'm going to auction his log off.
Anyway, congrats to Sulky. It was cool just seeing other golfers, other people there watching her, people with young kids, young daughters coming up to her and just saying hello. And I don't just mean people there watching. I mean like other golfers just come up and saying, this is awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's good for her.
Golf talk accomplished here today on the show. We're into the noontime hour. It has to be an NBA topic.
You keep teasing that.
That's all we have not left.
Jeez.
We've done everything but.
I think there's a couple other stragglers in there, too.
There's
one more football story. It's technically a football story.
I don't think there is. T-Bone will spin the wheel again for us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
If you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Going home to see your mama and her daddy.
T-Bone, take the wheel, buddy. Take the wheel for us.
Oh, Tyler. Oh. Let it play.
Can't you do both at the same time?
No.
Oh,
you can't walk and chew gum?
Topic is
Paul Pierce launching a marijuana brand.
All right.
Smoke every
this
day.
This might be more fun.
Oh, Paul Pierce is going to launch Truth marijuana brand.
That's Truth.
in Massachusetts from the Boston Globe. The Celtic great and NBA champion telling the Globe on Monday he's launching a line of recreational marijuana products under that name, The Truth, in partnership with marijuana operator The Hubcraft.
Mm.
Huh. His name will appear on various edibles, concentrates, and cannabis lotions by the end of the year, with a signature strain of marijuana flower hitting local dispensary shelves in 2022. Mm,
chronic.
This comes after Pierce was fired by ESPN in April for live streaming himself smoking what appeared to be marijuana with exotic dancers twerking in the background. Afterward, he alluded on Twitter to big things coming soon and later teased the Truth Cannabis venture by posting a short video of himself in a room full of cannabis plants, adding to the media frenzy around his departure from the network. Do you think ESPN should have fired Paul Pierce?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, because he's good at what he does.
That was stupid.
Yeah, and it's the NBA.
It's Disney, though.
He's doing NBA.
Stupid
right.
Disney, their standards.
It's so funny. This came up, too, because I walked the dog yesterday, and we go up over the hill.
What?
And he went and tucked in the woods. Yeah, he went for a walk yesterday, and there was this plant, like reddish plant, like, but it looked like a marijuana plant. And I'm like, holy crap, that looks like weed.
It may have been.
But it's like right along the edge of the sidewalk.
I'm a lot of people have planted marijuana on public property before. That's sort of a thing. That used to be a thing. I don't know if it still is.
Mm.
Right? Whose is it?
I don't know. Dog might go for a walk again today.
Right?
Go back.
Oh, it
check
is.
It out.
Do some cultivating.
Yeah. Let's cut it, dry it, let it dry in the garage and see what happens. Yeah.
I like this Paul Pierce venture if he names all the different strains after various sporting events. If you could come up with Robbie Roadsteamer used to talk about this strain of weed that he would smoke called the Buster Douglas, because one hit,
knock.
You'd be crawling around your living room floor like Tyson trying to put the mouthpiece back in. So you come up with different names for the different strains. It got to have a nice tie-in.
And one of the big ones should be Ubuntu. Like, that's when you smoke this, like, you dig everybody.
That's a very sociable strain. That's one right.
we're all in peace and we're all together.
Yes.
Peace and props to everybody in here. Right. Yeah, we got each other's
Ubuntu.
Back. Got each other's back.
Yep.
And then you could have, like, the more aggressive strains, like the Malice at the Palace. You know, this is the
one. You want to go out and whip some ass and revere right. on a Friday night?
For Paul Pierce, you could have one that's called the wheelchair.
Right.
You know, it'll put you in a wheelchair. It's so good.
For a minute.
Then you could have the poo-poo strain. Remember when the one where he pooped, they thought he pooped his pants?
Yeah, we call that the runs.
What are the names of the weed that they smoke in TED? One's called Gorilla Panic.
Yeah, it's funny. That gorilla is one of those animals and one of those things those guys said that we should put in the wheel. The wheel, the Wednesday wheel.
This one that's called Mind Rape.
Mind Rape. Oh, and this one, and something else called This Is Permanent.
It's called Mind Rape. It's actually pretty mellow.
Yeah, right.
You won't remember nothing.
All right.
Wow. Hi, I'm Paul Pierce. I'd like you to try my new strain of weed. This one is called the wheelchair. You may remember my iconic moment. Well, one hit of this and you can relive it right along with me. You won't be getting up for at least 45 minutes.
A lot of people are asking if you saw a Japanese maple in the woods.
No, I have Jap maples in my yard.
I don't think that's it.
I have a real nice Jap maple.
That's an easily recognized plant.
Yeah. Nope. This was tall and skinny and just looked like a weed plant. Like, that's a weed plant. I just kept walking.
Do you think anyone will go out of their way to buy Paul Pierce branded weed?
No. Yes.
You think
Celtics
so?
Fans?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that going to apply? I mean,
yeah. Like the kid I predicted was going to get bit like a couple years ago by the shark. The kid with the hat on sideways, he's got the Paul Pierce shirt on and tattoos of Celtics, of Lucky on his legs with the jorts on.
And?
That's the type of guy who got by the Paul Pierce weed.
Yeah.
He's waiting in line. He's got a tent outside on the street. Yes. That type of guy.
Yep. I agree.
Yep. And he'd be the guy with the cell phone there waiting to get the first selfie with Paul when Paul comes out on the soft opening that day. Yep. What up, P squared? It's your boy.
It'll be like 50 Cent at the liquor stores when he was signing his, wasn't he signing bottles of vodka locally? Wasn't that going on for a time?
I think Ty Law had a vodka too.
He did?
Matt Light.
Matt Light had a vodka.
Brewski's got a wine.
The wine thing is overdone. I feel like too many athletes really have their own wine.
But Bledsoe is like into his. Like he actually built the vineyard. And
that's
and
not a celebrity
right.
brand. That's an actual winery he opened.
Yeah, and that's an actual passion.
You mean to tell me all these other guys don't have their own distilleries where they're making their own vodka?
Well, no, except for Big Poppy. He actually cuts the tomatoes and makes the salsa.
Yeah.
So.
And he was at
that one is real.
He was at that restaurant every day.
How about the Louis Tiant cigars?
He rolls them himself. From what I understand.
I think he did. He did do a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah, he did?
Yeah.
Cutting and rolling?
He's well invested.
Hanging the tobacco plants in the barn?
No.
What are we talking about here?
I think he was pretty hands-on with that stuff at the beginning. Last time I remember, I did an appearance with him. He's like, this is great stuff, man. Enjoy it. A little passion for it. I like the guys that have passion for that stuff, not the guys that just slap their name on it. And just, show up.
Right.
Event.
Like George Foreman and his grill. That to me was clearly a passion project.
So Michael burned his foot on in the office. He had the bacon on. Remember, Hardy? He attached it to the clapper. He woke up and kicked the grill on and burned his foot.
Was it Hulk Hogan that turned down the George Foreman grill endorsement?
He did, I think.
Yeah.
That's right, brother.
Yep.
Stupid. Oh, God. I had two of those. They actually worked really well. They're cooking burgers inside. Next thing you know, your whole place smells.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of smoke.
Oh, man. But I tell you what, the meat was really cooked fast and grease dripped right off.
It was great for a sandwich. You could put a sandwich right on there.
And it's called a panini press, yes.
Then yeah, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was
I know
not.
That.
It was.
Yeah.
It had those deep ridges on it.
Mm.
It was good for cooking burgers. That's about it.
Steaks didn't taste that great on them. The burgers were perfect.
But we all had them.
We sure did.
Everybody had one.
Yep.
You have one, Hardy?
Mine was white.
I think we had a knockoff.
Yeah, whatever.
Same thing.
Hardy has our headlines.
The Buster Douglas
I can't
grill.
Believe...
Pacquiao grill.
It sings to you.
I can't believe that was the first NBA topic. There's real NBA news today.
There is.
On the Celtics front. And elsewhere, and that has to come up next. There has to be some real news in there.
We're running out of segments.
Yeah, it's all... Well, there is maybe one sort of football topic that Zoe added back in. Onto the wheel.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
It's technically football, but it's really not at all football related.
I don't see it on the wheel here.
We'll talk about it.
And Soci at 1 o'clock, too.
And Soci will join us at 1 p.m.
Okay.
Tell us what happened in minicamp today. Here's Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What movies, though?
Hangover. It's like when I look at the pictures at the end.
Before we spin the wheel again,
we're going to this once and we're going to eliminate it.
We are taking calls, 617-779-0985. David in Florida has an issue with baseball and their enforcement of pre-existing rules. David.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Well, thanks for that introduction. I appreciate it. Sort of this becoming... an Enrico Palazzo situation. I mean, how are they going to? I mean, what are they going to do? Strip search him? Are they just going to
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the scenarios that evolve? I mean, spread your legs, hands down, cough three times, and I mean, what are they going to do?
Check the hands. And that is going to be a little awkward. Let me see your hands. Show me your hands. Why would they check anywhere else? They're not looking for where they're putting the substance on. You know why? Because it's being applied before they even go out onto the field. That's what's going on. And yes, there is some on the hats and on the gloves and everything else. We saw, who was it that switched gloves between the first and second inning a couple weeks ago? Did you see that?
I believe it was John Means.
John Means. First inning goes out with one glove. Second inning, he just somehow decided to start using a different glove.
That's very uncommon.
What's going on there, John? So it's the hands. What do you got on the hands? Let me see. Let me see your hands. What are you going to touch them? Tickle them?
So you put them on the inside of the glove then, I guess, huh? Yeah, you can put the substance there, yeah.
But it ultimately is on your hands.
Right.
And that's what they're going to want to check.
I
don't need to go raid your dugout for spider tack. I need to see if you have any on your hands.
Right.
Like, maybe a stupid question on my part, but is spider tack invisible or is it colored? Or
It's colored. The other thing is, either way, at this point, there's so many cameras watching. It doesn't matter.
Colorless, odorless. You can mix it in a drink if you like.
It's darker.
Whatever happened the other day when that ball stopped short of the first baseline? It looked like it was all cut up. Like, there was never any commentary after that where, Eck and O'Brien were like, oh, what is on that ball?
When balls get cut up like that, it was fouled, so I didn't think anything of it. Sometimes
it wasn't fouled. It was a fair ball.
It was hit. I mean, it came off the bat. When a ball gets, you know, kind of bounced like that, it can get all torn up. That doesn't say
balls
anything.
Balls get torn up when I come off bats.
All the time. All the time.
That's a new one to me.
No, yeah, that happens pretty often.
Wow.
You never seen like a ball fouled off will have some a little bit of tear marks and different stuff on it.
I would see, you know, impressions if it hit a wall or like hit the dirt real hard.
Yeah, there's no way they can cut the ball on the mound. Not possible.
Unless you got a nail file.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
on your belt.
Who would ever try that?
Yeah. I was laughing the other day. What's that? Crisco?
Okay, better question is, do you get the Enrico Palazzo reference?
I did not. That went over my head.
Of course it did. Of course.
There's so many things that are affable about you, but then there's things that are so disturbing.
Is it a movie?
It's in a movie.
It's a movie reference.
You know what, though? It's definitely before your time.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter. Before your time. It doesn't matter.
30,
probably about
30
years? Is that 35? I'm guessing 30 years.
Which one is it? Is it the sequel?
I think it's maybe the 2.5.
Yeah. You ever see Miracle on 32nd Street?
Nope.
Like Christmas movie?
No. Is this 91. The Godfather that we're talking about?
You ever see The Godfather?
No.
Never mind then.
Is Enrico Palazzo in The Godfather?
Yes.
He sounds like a hitman. That'd be a good name for hitman.
Enrico.
Hardy, what's the name of the guy that they set up to meet the Don? And he was rehearsing his lines. Hello, Don. It's very nice to see you. It was on the day of his daughter's wedding.
Oh.
The big fat guy. You got to meet him. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, that's Luca Brasi.
Luca Brasi.
Yes, he's a very scary guy.
He sleeps with the fishes. Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah.
Well, Luca Brasi.
Oh, and I hope their first child is a masculine child.
What a good movie. Very Italian.
1991, Hardy. 91.
Yeah.
I was negative 7.
Negative 7.
Oh, in baseball terms. That's his statistical age.
My war.
Negative 7. Negative 7.45.
Negative 7. Okay. We want to spin the wheel?
Yeah.
We might have to spin it again in the middle of the next segment, but let's do it.
We'll do it.
Oh, man.
God, that hurts. It's
not a great sound.
The Wilfork situation.
Wilfork situation. That would be that Vince Wilfork's son was reportedly arrested for stealing and then selling his father's Super Bowl rings.
See, the Super Bowl rings was plural. And then there was a span there where Vince didn't win for a while when he was here. I'm thinking, did he really have two rings or did he only have one? So he had two.
His final year, he won.
He had 2 years. He had two rings. He had two AFC title rings and also his national championship University of Miami ring was stolen. So I guess $300,000 dollars worth of jewelry were stolen by his son and sold one of the rings for $62,000. And the guy reported it and actually gave it back to the cops. And I guess Vince got the rings back.
He was charged, as you said, with theft of property greater than $300,000. He reported the missing jewelry on May 10th. Vince Wilfork, that is. He was preparing to move. And he discovered that the rings were not where he had put them. That the rings were gone. Reported it. And then he later heard from a Patriots fan who found the rings in an online memorabilia group. Someone was offering the rings for sale. The individual who was offering the rings for sale learned that the rings were then stolen. He had purchased the rings for $62,000 for the two Super Bowl rings and the Miami ring. And so as soon as he learned that the son had stolen them from his own father, he thought he was getting them from a legitimate source, considering it was Wilfork's son.
Yeah. Maybe Vince gave the rings to his kid and his kid did with them what they wanted.
That's probably the story he told.
Yeah.
The person who was in possession of the rings went to police and turned them in right away, turned them over.
I remember the son was living with them. I did a Super Bowl party when we were down here in Houston. And Vince lives way outside of Houston. Like, he is out there. But he has this big ranch. You know, he breeds dogs and stuff and does all his cooking and he has these big grills.
Maybe not anymore. He's moving.
Party out back, but his son was living with him at that time. Yeah.
That's too bad.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel bad for Vince on that one. Because I don't know what the situation is at home.
I don't either. I'm not going to speculate. But my question was this. Where does he keep the rings?
That's a good question.
Where were the rings being kept? In a shoebox in the closet? Where were they?
Or you could have them in a personal safe or a hidden space in your house where obviously maybe your family only knows about
it. Begs another question. Would you tell your kid the combo to the safe?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No.
Would you tell your kids the combo to the safe, Artie?
No, we do have a safe and the kids do not know the combo to the safe.
What's your kid doing with the combo if it is a safe? Well, again, this is just in theory for any item. Not specifically Vince Wilfork's
rings.
What
if you keep them space binoculars in that safe and he needs to get them?
Stop. It's a half day today. Hold on. You might be listening.
Can we seriously settle this, though? Did you get those?
No, I did not end up getting those.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. That's what I was asking yesterday because I thought that could be a future gift.
I think there's some drug issues going on.
He had been arrested before.
Like just stuff like codeine possession and weird things. But
I think it was over 300 grams of codeine. Is that a lot?
I don't know.
I guess for a kid, I mean, what is he? How old is he now? 23.
Well, this was years ago. It was when he was in college. He got kicked off his football team in college.
Yeah.
We should call Ted Johnson and see if he's got
381 grams of codeine.
What? What are you pissing me for?
I'm not saying anything on that one.
It's a joke. Ted got tied up in talking about Wilfork's family before. I just thought he'd like to weigh in.
381 grams is over 13 ounces. That sounds like a lot of codeine. 13 ounces?
Something like a pound. 16 ounces a pound.
Yeah, but in what form is it in?
Pill?
Probably.
I don't know.
Is it like... Someone will tell us if that's a lot.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a lot.
Like Green Line Johnny.
I think it is a lot. I think it's a tremendous amount.
Green Line Johnny would know if that's a lot.
It's a tremendous amount.
He was looking at 20 years in prison.
He didn't go to prison. Did he go to prison at all? Did he serve any time for that? But what do you give the safe thing? If they were in a safe, it probably
2 to 20 years if convicted of felony drug possession.
Well, he wasn't. He probably pled down to nothing and didn't see a day in jail because it wasn't a lot. Is it a lot or not?
I don't know. You keep saying it's not a lot.
But I have zero idea if it's a lot or not.
Would you think of codeine in the same way you think of, let's say, cocaine? Maybe not
no,
that.
No, I would not.
Oh, I think it's probably thought of along the same lines.
I mean, there's legitimate uses for codeine.
Oxy. What about oxy?
There's legitimate uses for cocaine.
I got a bad cough. I take a little codeine.
All right. Well, oxy. I want to stay up late and party.
Oxy.
A little scissorp.
If it's like oxy, then yeah, that's a lot.
Help you get over that cold.
What about your drug guys? Talk to your Paul Pierce wheelchair weed.
Talk to your drug guys. Tell me if that's a lot. We'll find out if that's a lot. We'll get a definitive answer. 617-779-0985. Go nowhere. The wheel spinning continues.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in the disaster area.
Zolak and Bertram, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our listeners always come through. They always do. People say I'm crazy. I looked up the number of grams. It was 381 grams.
We've been over this.
Protein, 381. Yes. Well, he said it was over 300. I just want to get the exact number.
All right.
Dave in the car has experience in law enforcement, from what I understand. Dave, tell me about this.
You got it.
Go ahead.
381 grams.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Thank you.
Well, I mean,
how much a lot?
More? A bit more?
That's a lot of bottles of cough syrup.
Well, you cuff them.
Was he transporting NyQuil, or was it something for more more nefarious purposes?
It sounds to me to be more on the nefarious side of things.
All right,
distribution, huh?
My source is telling me the codeine
level.
Dave, does this jibe with what you know? My source is telling me the codeine is sold in small amounts, referred to as lines, and mixed with Sprite. Drank or drunk from baby bottles?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
If you see baby bottles with red hue in your kids' rooms, they're drinking lean.
Is that what they call scissor, Dave?
I'm sorry, say again?
Is that what they call scissor?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Man of words.
For somebody who called us, we really got to drag the information out of them. This isn't cross-examination. This is direct. You can be a little more forthcoming with your answers.
Jeff in Nashua emailed and said it would equal 62,000 5-milligram Vicodin tablets.
Yeah, I believe him.
Why?
Because he seems like he's up to date with the drug stuff.
But the state and federal guidelines are low, according to one source. And people get charged when it's interstate conspiracy or racketeering. Then it's a big deal.
Mm.
Well, I don't know.
Steven Stoneham. Hi, Steve.
Sounds like that. We're talking about the Vince Wilfork ring and jewelry theft from his son. And his son was arrested for it, but he was also arrested for this codeine possession,
right,
which is why we're asking.
Steve on the Bruins. Steve.
Thanks, guys. I'd like to talk a little bit about, I don't know if you saw the article in today's Globe about Neely and Sweeney. And Neely mentioned the 2015 draft and how they really screwed that one up, and he kind of pointed to the fact that Sweeney was his first year in the job.
Yep. We talked about this yesterday.
Steve, we played this on yesterday because as a radio station, we're able to give you up-to-the-minute news, unlike newspapers, which are a day late to everything these days.
Roll that thing up and make some kindling out of it.
Oh, you shouldn't reference any newspaper stories anymore then.
I'm just saying, in terms of timely information, that's not where you get it.
We played the audio.
I didn't say they're useless.
Yesterday we played the audio.
I just said that's not what I go there for. I don't go there for the up-to-the-date.
I wasn't directing that at you. I was directing it at the fish wrap comment over there.
Fish wrap comment?
You were just saying you could wrap up. What were you saying about the newspaper?
To twist it up, put it under the fireplace for kindling.
Yeah.
I liked it for the
We played the audio. We played the audio yesterday and discussed the topic. And
fish wrap.
I think Neely's making excuses and letting the guy off the hook and trying to avoid any blame for the 2015 draft within the organization, which is absurd.
Right.
Because Don Sweeney was still working here. He was the assistant general manager before he became the general manager. Oh, he was hired too late. Hired from within the same office.
Yeah.
He got a promotion from one desk to the next. It wasn't like he had come from outside the organization and was brand new to the setup and brand new to the scouting staff and brand new to everything involved. He wasn't getting acclimated to a new place. He already worked here. He worked under Shirelli. He was involved. He doesn't get to be blameless for the 2015 draft. So that's my take on it. Dan is in Salem on the amount of codeine that 381 grams is. Dan.
Hi. I've actually never tried this stuff myself.
Oh, really?
But I know some friends that have tried this stuff, and they said that usually people take that have taken it occasionally take about 2 ounces at a time. So it's about 5 or 6 people's worth. Obviously, I think you guys said it was 13 and a half grams. So
no, no, 381 grams.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
381 grams.
Shy of 400.
I meant, sorry, I meant 13 ounces. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Oh.
They get on Planet Zippy, a couple of zip zaps
at
us? I don't
follow, but Raven in Rhode Island is a pharmacist. Jesus. So this is a farm.
Hey,
Raven?
Hopefully my phone holds up, you guys, but I'm sure this codeine was in tablets. The codeine tablets are 30 milligrams. I'm in the car and can't do the math. But divide that, and you're talking grams. So that's 1,000 milligrams. So that's a lot of tablets.
Yeah, but we don't know what form it was in. It could have been in a pharmaceutical bottle, which it would have been like one bottle.
Yeah, it'd be cool if he had one of them little the plastic things that you could count the pills and you slide it over and then it gets the thing in you.
Raven, that doesn't at all. I'm sorry, but that doesn't at all help me understand the situation.
Do you have any pill crushers?
I think we should keep fumbling around in the dark for another hour talking about the amount of codeine involved here and whether or not it's bad. There's a pill, there's a bottle, there's a scissor, baby bottle. I don't know.
Yes.
How many people could get high off the amount of codeine that he had in the car?
And yes. How high?
And how high and for how long?
Yes.
No. Is that bad? Yes.
Yes.
Is that a lot? Yes.
No.
You know, the Tylenol 3s used to have codeine in them. Could you buy those over the counter or are those prescription?
Prescription. Now, up in Canada, you could get them off the shelf, though, as Chris Berman once.
Dude.
90 seconds here with headlines. Bob Soucy will join us and tell us what happened at Patriots minicamp today. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.